Yes, Kyle. Yeah. So, as Callum's alluded to, our last Maroon 5 of the season is going to be a fitting finale as we look at the best league. I was going to say Premier League, but we're not just doing Premier League. So, best finales to a football league season. So, we think we're going to say straight away the obvious one is the Aguero one. So, we're going to get that out the way, and we'll dive in quickly to a couple of our favourite Premier League finishes. We didn't quite get the one we wanted yesterday. So I'm going to pick 1989, yeah, into the Football League season. So maybe the only one that's pre-Premier League, I'm guessing, out of our predictions. So I think the only one that does really rival Aguero and maybe tops Aguero was Arsenal winning the league at Anfield in 1989. Just to quickly set the scene, because I want to do something. Arsenal had been ahead for quite a lot of the season, and it sort of a lot of people's eyes had blown it. I was listening to it. There's a new podcast, a good one as well. I can't remember what it's called. It was what it was, I think, with me second favourite football author after Callum, Jonathan Wilson. Sort of talking about, they've done a recent double episode about this. So if you want to listen to it properly, listen to that. But they were talking about, I'm sure it was something like 15 points clear Arsenal were, and Liverpool had clawed it back to the point where, because of Hillsborough, the game had been rearranged to the end of the season. So we had an actual league decider at the end of the season, but Arsenal needed to go to Anfield and win by two clear goals, which I think was seen as nigh on impossible back then for a team that, well, even now it probably would be seen as impossible. Liverpool didn't lose at Anfield, and Arsenal went there. I actually remember during lockdown watching this game on, it was one of them ones they showed the full match, because it was very rare in the 80s. It was actually shown live on ITV, but so they had the footage. It was an absolutely terrible game. The first half, like I was thinking to myself, like nowadays, if a team had to go and win somewhere 2-0, Arsenal played more defensive than you can ever manage. And apparently, it was just because George Graham wanted to get to half time 0-0 and make Anfield nervous, which worked. But anyway, long story short, he scored just after half time of Alan Smith header from a free kick. And then as it goes into injury time with Liverpool on the verge of winning the league with Steve McMahon saying one more minute till we won the league, John Barnes failing to take it to the corner and trying to score, and Arsenal launch one last attack, and it results in Michael Thomas ending up 1-on-1 with a goalkeeper and finishing over Grobbelaar. So I think, yeah, mad scenes to win away at Anfield, have to win by two clear goals, not even just to win. I also think it was the last time that going into the Premier League, the last day of the Premier League, the person who was top didn't win the league. I think that's right in saying that, but I could double check. That's never happened in the Premier League, so it makes sense that it was. I think, yeah, just I can only imagine for the neutral or for anyone else, Everton fans. I always think of the point of view of an Everton fan, how happy you would have been with that. But if Arsenal fans, I think, yeah, I think that would struggle to be topped, just because of the fact it wasn't like City beating QPR; it was Arsenal winning away at Liverpool to win the league. I think that gives it the edge over that one for myself. Any
Fair enough,
thoughts?
that.
Yeah, good shout. Very well summed up. Like you said, the same, Tosh. Yeah, I think it's obviously one that we've all like grown up loving, isn't it? Kind of thing, and we've all kind of heard about. But yeah, what a way to win the league, obviously, and take it down to that last thing, as you say. Imagine being an Arsenal fan for that, which would be incredible. So, yeah, good shout for you.
I reckon my dad celebrated that more than any Arsenal fan.
Yeah, well, my dad. I was meant to mention as well. Quite strangely, when Liverpool were going to win the Champions League in 2019, because we didn't want to watch it, we actually, for some reason, because it was my mum and dad's whatever it was anniversary, we watched the wedding video, and it was a couple of weeks after that. And the best man speech, I think, is best man Peter raises a toast to Michael Thomas, because it was a couple of weeks after that. So
It's great stuff, that.
yeah, so. Little honorable mention to that, but yeah, I think, as you say, I think if I'd have loved to have seen that one. We've only got the likes of I'm trying to think about it. What our modern day equivalent, Demba Ba, maybe
Yeah.
someone like that. Diego Forlán, maybe in the Europa League a couple of times, so would be some, on a similar level for me. But yeah, I think just for sheer drama, just would have loved to have seen that, I think, and I would recommend that podcast. Really good football one. Anyone want to jump in second or any other thoughts? Sorry, Sean, were you looking to give a thought there?
Yeah, I was, but mine's boring now. Your mum and dad speech anecdotes well better than mine.
You can give us your nomination then, Sean.
I have wanted to go last because I feel like mine's the best and the most magical. Mine is from the, I'd say, what you'd call maybe like peak Barclays era, Barclays Premiership. It was just that era of, I don't know, just takes me back to being a kid when I had shootout cards. All the players that played in this weekend are just like so synonymous with my childhood. So I'm talking about the 2004.
Kevin Kiliban.
But he'll have been knocking about, definitely. He wasn't involved in this drama, though, unfortunately. the 2004-2005 season, the famous Great Escape for West Brom, which I was telling Bob before, the only real research I've done from this is by watching Match of the Day from that weekend, which is the relegation side of it anyway, is in full on YouTube. And it's kind of like takes you back to, especially when you're a kid, because if it happened now, I think thing is, I know we probably knew the scores back then anyway, but the Match of the Day moving back and forward between games was such an exciting format. It just was, because you felt like you were up, you felt like you were living it as it was going on, and you had all the fans, even though it was only what 15, well, 20 years ago now, all the fans had like radios, and it feels like that should be in the 80s, but it was only 2005. Where the fans are getting news from the radio that the other team have scored. And when you think about that day, it's actually like, as far as like fairy tales go, it's actually insane, because the amount of little intricacies that happened on that day to keep West Brom up is just mad. So obviously, famously, they were bottom of Christmas, looked fairly dead at that point. And obviously, they're the only team who were bottom of Christmas to ever stay up, but on that day they were actually bottom going into it, and they needed all of the other three results to go their way, and they needed to win to have any hope of staying up. As the day was going on, the chopping and changing, from what I can remember from Match of the Day, you had Crystal Palace playing Charlton away, you had Southampton playing United, and you had Norwich playing Fulham. Now, the Norwich game was pretty cut and dry. I think they lost 6-0. But, again, some of the players, so on Match of the Day, it opens with a Brian McBride goal, which just takes you back, especially as Everton fans. And then, later on, you have Steve Malbronk, who scored, Zach Knight, just like, I don't know, just I loved seeing all those players again. But then, the main drama was in your Palace game and Southampton. So West Brom themselves, they did the job. They won 2-0. That was fairly straightforward for them. But even with that, they still needed the other games to go well. Imagine being a West Brom fan as you hear that Southampton have gone 1-0 up against United. Like, that must have been cut and dry for them, thinking United are definitely winning. And then, I can't remember who it was, John O'Shea or someone, scored their own goal. So they think Southampton are 1-0 up. In the end, United came back and won anyway, so that wasn't a problem. But again, the nerves at that time, when you haven't even got your phone to check up on stuff or anything, it just must have just been boss. And then the other one was the Palace game. They went 1-0 down, as far as I remember. Came back 2-1 up. Andy Johnson scored a pen to make it 2-1.
Legend.
And then Jonathan Fortune, I don't know if you remember him. Quinson.
Yeah.
I don't think he does, no. He was a centre-half, I think.
Does he know Wheelov?
Oh, how'd you follow that? Jonathan Fortune scored anyway to bring it back to 2-2. So all those things are going on while West Brom are comfortably 2-0 up. But again, up until you see the celebrations on the pitch, they still, even after the final whistle's gone in their game, they still don't know if they're up. It's like that United one on that City day when there's pictures of Rooney and that walking around the pitch thinking they've won the league, and then they get news through. But what makes it even more, I mean, the pitch invasions, the Match of the Day back and forward, the facts, like stats and that go with it. But what makes it even more special for this podcast is that the win was set in motion by Keeping Up Appearances legend, a man by the name of Jeff Dean Horsfield. He came on as a second half sub. He was on the pitch about 15 seconds. slots and half volleying and just sets them on. And then the winner, or the second one was actually by another man that's been mentioned on here, Kieran Richardson, who actually gets the second one. So I think that fixture in itself is just, it'll go down in keeping up appearances folklore purely for the players that played in it. But I just
was Jason Kumas playing as well?
Do you know what? I don't know. He probably will have been around there, though, won't he?
Yeah,
he
would have been, yeah. It's a good show.
That's who I thought you were talking about before you pulled Jeff Dean.
If Kumas is playing, I think that's a done deal.
I reckon we just swerve the rest of it.
We'll have to check.
Do you want me to check while you're talking, Sean?
Yeah, go on. But yeah, for me, that was the first time, or probably the only real time, that I've had that drama on the last day. And obviously it didn't impact Everton, but I don't know, it just felt exciting watching match today. And I even remember, this isn't on YouTube, so this is purely my memory. I remember the song that match today closed to. You know, the way they have like an end of the year summary at the end of match today. It closed to a song called Just the Ride by Jem. And I'm telling you, even now I get emotional thinking about it.
That's my song of the week.
When I hear it play, I just picture Brian Robson. It makes me cry. Yeah, what a song.
Isn't it Kieran Richardson on People's Shoulders? That's the image.
That's what I always remember. I remember that picture where he's sort of laughing at.
Yeah.
Good shout, John. I don't know if you said this, but wasn't that the first time someone was bottom at Christmas and stayed up?
Yeah. I didn't say that. You're not listening, Cal. God.
Sorry. But yeah, no, good shout, Sean. Good shout. I think, that's a... Imagine being a West Brom fan and...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sean. Kumas didn't play. But we did have a couple of Keeping Up Appearances legends. Kevin Campbell started the match. Zoltan Gira started, he always gets a mention. And Kanu came off the bench.
Oh. Tell you what.
It's not as much of a certainty as it would have been with Kumas, but that is a good sprinkling of Kumas.
And Paul Robinson from Neighbours was playing left back. But yeah, I think it's the fact he stayed. It was that was seen as impossible. The fact, as Callum mentioned, that staying up at Christmas, I think it has been done a few more times, hasn't it? I think I remember, did Sunderland do it? Maybe even Leicester the year before they won the league. I think that they did it, but at that time, and I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head. Sure, a brilliant description with like the match of the day sort of changing, the thing. I think I was watching in the summer. The one that I was thinking of, the other one I was going to pick, which was, I think it was 10-11, where like Blackpool were involved and that like changed four or five times. Like Birmingham ended up going down, but like one time Birmingham was staying up, and like I remember Birmingham scoring away at Tottenham in like a brilliant away end, like the limbs when they equalised. And I think that one, and it was like ridiculously high points. Total at one point, the Blackpool were going down with something like 41 points or something as they were winning away at night. It was ridiculous. But yeah, I think that was a great shout, Sean. Bit of a different one, but very well explained, as always.
I think mine probably links in nicely to Sean, so I'll go next.
Go on, then.
Nowhere near as well rehearsed, prepared.
Honestly, a man can't just do a Shakespearean soliloquy and...
What?
Get credit for it. I don't rehearse these things, Bob. That was off.
Okay, take the word rehearsed out then.
Performed, delivered.
He's the master of his craft, Bob.
That is true.
I didn't mean it as a criticism.
Do you know last week, Bob, I did the whole podcast on my own without you. I didn't do it.
Must have been quite easy to predict what I was going to say. And I'm going to be very predictable again. I'm going for a clean sweep. Going for the last day of the 1993-94 season. So it's a season I remember well, being one year old. So Everton began the final day of that season in the bottom three. And in true Everton fashion, they quickly found themselves 2-0 down. The first goal, a penalty that Big Neville Total almost saved. It was given for an absolutely mindless handball by Anders Limpar, who was Wayne Rooney's hero growing up. Second goal was a calamitous own goal by the late, great Gary Ablett. I always thought we were 2-0 down at half-time, but we got a goal back through a penalty after Limpar made amends with the greatest dive you'll ever see. Absolutely terrible decision to give a pen, and think we're still paying off that decision now. I I was talking to Sean about this before we started recording, and I say I misremember this, but I can't misremember something when I was one. But I always have it in my head that the Thunder Bastard from Barry Orne was the winner, but it obviously wasn't. But so that was the second goal. Then the comeback was completed by the Diamond, Graham Stewart. So Everton, against all odds, miraculously stay up. And there were a couple of incidents like that for us in the 90s, and was also going to go for the Gareth Farrelly one, but settled on the one that you associate with Barry Orne because he got the greatest name in football. And whenever I watch clips of that game, I do like get a little bit emotional just thinking about what could have happened if he had gone down that year. If we had, would I be picking Jared Brandtwaite as player of the season for this podcast? And I probably wouldn't have. So
you're picking another Everton player, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just mad to think of what could have happened if he had gone down there. I'm sure we'd still be a mess, but we're probably in a slightly better position now. So that's my nomination.
Yeah, I think it's a great shout. I think it's probably the generation and maybe the one or two above us, it would be their pick, I would have thought, wouldn't it? I think I remember someone saying, like, remember when we beat Palace from 2-0 down to stay up through the year, like the second goal they scored was very calamitous, as you described it, Bob, in terms of, like, you know, it was like clear, like, yeah, on the line and things. I remember saying someone said that at half time. It was very, very Gary Ablett, wasn't it?
Yeah, didn't Ayew score that and he should have been sent off as well?
Yeah. Because one of them, wasn't it, where like Pickford comes out and then he's like chasing it back and like there's Decore on the line. I think, yeah. The other thing, yeah, I think I remember again linking it to lockdown. They did like one of them match of the day things where they got all the presenters to pick their game. And I remember Ian Wright picking that one for his game and saying, like, yeah, I think they picked one game where they played it, and then he picked like another game. And he was talking about, like, he was watching. I can't remember if he said he was watching because he may have been playing, but he was saying that the thought of Everton going down was just like unbelievable. He was like praying he'd stayed up, and he always sort of remembers that game.
What a fella.
He is a great fella, and obviously leaving match today, and he, so yeah, fair play to him. I'm a bit big Ian Wright fan, but yeah, I think it's a good shout.
Can we mention the fact that two of the five are rigged games as well?
Yeah, that was fixed, wasn't it?
Which one was mine? Was mine fixed?
No, the City QPR one. Wayne Rooney thinks it was rigged.
Makes sense, he wouldn't have.
And that Wimbledon one.
I mean, yeah, that was definitely fixed, wasn't it? Like, bus was set on fire and everything, wasn't it? And the hand say he was definitely paid.
Yeah.
Good lad. Right, come on then, Callum, wrap us up.
Yeah, so I've gone with one, possibly a bit different. One that was kind of like a story that was bubbling away for the whole season. Lots of controversy and something that I think was like a first for this country in terms of third-party ownerships. And that was kind of, I think, very much at the time, like a foreign thing. The sort of dodgy owners of West Ham brought it over to England, the signings of Javier Mascherano and Tevez. So that controversy was kind of, it was a big story for the whole season, and what were West Ham going to do, and what were these players going to do, and how, you know, was this cheating? How could this be possible? And then West Ham find themselves in a relegation battle and sort of calling on these players to hopefully keep them up. So the story was kind of already there that, you know, if these are the players that keep them up, then, you know, there's going to be trouble here, and what's going to happen if that is the case. And yeah, on that day, West Ham, we're going away to Manchester United with a win sort of guaranteeing their safety, with Sheffield United in a battle as well to try and stay up. And then obviously, as we all know, Tevez scores the only goal in that game, in that 1-0 victory. And Sheffield United go down as Wigan save themselves with a 2-1 victory. And yeah, obviously the massive, massive controversy over Tevez. You know, it just had to be Tevez who was going to score that goal after all the controversy all season to keep them up and send Sheffield United down. And obviously after that, there was kind of lots of bitterness and lots of trouble over that result. I was reading, I think, for I think almost 2 years, the kind of the court cases and everything kind of carried on. And West Ham were forced to pay Sheffield United 20 million in compensation, which probably, in terms of going down, probably they got off lightly in terms of what it would have cost them. And obviously, the 20 million didn't really do Sheffield United that much because it took them 12 years to get back to the Premier League, and they spent six seasons in League One from that. So in terms of like a sliding doors moment, you know, what a catastrophic day that was for Sheffield United. And I think the fact that, you know, that story kind of was happening all season, it was a bit like, is this going to be the thing that sort of sends someone down? And what do we do if that's the case with something so that we hadn't really seen in the Premier League before? Then yeah, I think that is such like a out of the box or out there final day with kind of controversy kind of before and after the day itself. So yeah, my nomination is the Tevez gate to send Sheffield United down.
I think Neil Warnock's mentioned it every day for the 12 years afterwards as well, to be fair.
Yeah,
to
him, so. I think he probably has.
I was going to say, I was listening to Bobby Zamora on Under the Cosh this week, and they were joking about that match. They were talking about the fact that obviously all the drama and that. And then someone joked saying, I think Sheffield United still want that game replaying. And then they were joking saying, imagine if we got all the old players back.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
I'd your boss it be.
We'd have to be involved so in some way. I think, yeah. I think the other point you make, Callum, is that, like, obviously in the other game, I can't remember, I have to check, but, you know, obviously Sheffield United were playing Wigan. That was a bit like the way Arsenal were playing Liverpool. Like, they were playing each other to stay up. I think if Sheffield United would have won, I think they'd have still stayed up ahead of West Ham. Am I right in saying, or am I not right in saying?
I think...
I'm going purely from memory there.
I think West Ham were... They would have needed West Ham to get beat.
Is that right?
I think, yeah.
And if I remember right, it was David Unsworth who scored the goal, wasn't it?
Just going to ask that, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I think there was a lot of stories because another great finish to a season is 94-95, where Blackburn win the league. And obviously, Man United needed to better Blackburn's results, and Man United was stopped by an inspired West Ham who stopped. They made a load of unbelievable saves, like threw the bodies on the line. I remember Ferguson saying something like, if he'd have played that like that all year, he wouldn't be in the trouble he were. And I remember everyone in that week saying, you know, there's no way like United are going to go full pelt at them to try and relegate them, and didn't. I think United had won the league the week or two before, and I think that was United's first win. So, but yeah, I think, as you say, all that drama around Tevez, and it's another mad story to think Carlos Tevez played for West Ham, really, isn't it? His first move into Europe.
Mascherano as well.
Mascherano didn't even really get a sniff ball. He barely played, did he? Whereas Tevez became like a bit of a cult hero. He's just unbelievable player. But like, remember, like when we were young, like reading the like Match magazine about like Tevez playing in Argentina, and then he went to Brazil, didn't he? I think he signed
the Olympians.
Yeah. So I think, you know, for them to get in, he was like one of the new Maradonas, as it were. But yeah, I think good shout.
That worked out very well for us though, because we won a signed Phil Jagielka. They had gone down.
Good point.
There you go.
We could have signed Tevez instead, and I know which one they preferred.
Exactly. How many screamers did Tevez score in the Merseyside derby? No.
Right then, yeah, wrapping it up, quickly then, so our favourite season endings. We're going for the obvious one is Aguero. I picked Michael Thomas in 1989. Sean went for Dean Horsfield scoring to keep West Brom up, surviving on the last day with all results going for them. Bob went for Everton's dramatic escape against Wimbledon in 1994, and Callum finished us off with Carlos Tevez's escape for West Ham. So as always, for the last time this season, get over to X and vote for what you think would be the best season finale. And let's see. I don't know how you send the season finale. You send the protagonist of the finale over there. So,
what a good
Tevez, Horsfield, Michael Thomas, and Dean Horsfield.
Barry Owen.
Horsfield, yeah, I mentioned Horsfield twice. Yeah.
He can go.
Horsfield's got to go.
Right then, are we jumping into our keeping up appearances then?
Yep. Right, so as a little treat for the end of the season, obviously there's no Premier League games left. We've got maybe the Championship playoff final, the FA Cup final, and the big game of the Champions League final. So we've decided, rather than sticking with English teams, which have done quite a lot this year, we're going to instead play with the Champions League final. So obviously Real Madrid against Borussia Dortmund. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I say it's...
I only see one team winning, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I think really... I'd like to think, just because everyone seems to have written Dortmund off, that maybe there's a chance. But I think... Yeah, I think apparently I can't profess to have watched a lot of either, apart from in the recent rounds of the Champions League. But what year, Dortmund have actually not been particularly good in Germany this year. And like, also about the manager. The manager a lot of times has been questioned. And so, yeah, I think... Madrid, you've not been brilliant, though, the last few rounds. You've sort of scraped away there, really, haven't you? Rather fortunate against Bayern, I thought. Rather fortunate against City. But I think now they're there, they've probably played the more difficult games they needed to play to get there. Yeah. So you'd imagine they win there.
Run four is just so good, isn't it?
Ridiculous.
They need a goal, or almost definitely going to get it, is the thing, I think, in it. So, can't see Dortmund having enough firepower to just score more than them on the night.
That Vinicius always seems to like deliver. I know everyone's talks about Bellingham. He's sort of flattered to deceive a bit. Bellingham, that Vinicius, whenever it seems like matter, he seems to like do something involved or score, like, and that Rodrigo as well. But particularly Vinicius, I think he just, yeah. I don't really watch Spanish football as much as like maybe 5-10 years ago when Messi was in the league. But whenever you watch him, I just think like whenever like the big moment comes, he's someone who always delivers. So I hope he scores. I like him. And for Modric and Cruz as well.
Yeah.
And Don Carlo,
yeah.
Of course.
Legend.
Probably come back to Everton once he's wrapped that one up, I would have thought.
Yep.
Think so.
No, but I wouldn't change Dicey for anyone.
I'm just going to stop you there, Bob.
Right, predictions?
Ooh. I'm going to go 2-0 Madrid.
Go 3-1 Madrid.
I'll go 1-0 Madrid.
Let's go 1-1 Madrid on pens.
Just
to be different. Right, let's get our number then. Parameters are the same as always, so between 50 and 450. Let's see what our number is for the Champions League final. And it's a nice round, 260. 260.
How many games did Tommy Gravesen play for Real Madrid, do you think?
Definitely between 240 and 280, I think, so.
How many of his teammates did he knock out?
Right. Song of the week.
Do the one that you said before.
No, I've got a few more for it.
Oh.
What theme are you going down the lines of, Sean? Finales?
No, Callum's girlfriend.
Oh. what do you think, Sean?
I'm going Molly's Chambers.
I do like that one, to be fair.
Avril Lavigne, girlfriend.
Oh, I thought you would have gone for NSYNC.
Oh, yeah, with a bit of Nelly. Oh, and Nelly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Get Nelly in. Anything else?
Mysterious girl, Peter Andre.
Oh, that's a good one. She's very mysterious as well.
That's all Callum's fault, though, isn't it?
I know. Mysterious man this week. Barely spoke to us. Okay, moving away from Callum's girlfriend then, which I really don't want to do, but I've got
Mitchell's going to be so disappointed in you.
Well, no one else has backed me up. I'm on a one-man mission here.
Sorry, Sean.
When I was thinking about the match of the day closer in my season, in my head I was thinking, because it's such a... I think if you listen to it, I think you'd remember it. And I was thinking, imagine how good it'd be if I could do it and if I had time, if I could like put together like a best of compilation of Keeping Up Appearances this season, of all the laughs we've had and all the great shouts. Imagine how good that'd be.
Get that in a vine, wouldn't you? 15 seconds.
All the time, yeah, Sean saw me off of swearing. Oh, we could do a Notts Forest compilation.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that would be good.
Go on for about an hour.
Well, more my mate kid absolutely loves you saying not Forrest. He's the biggest fan of all time, and that's how he'd absolutely eat that compilation up.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, we'll go Gem, Just a Ride. And in your head, you can think of all your favourite moments from Keeping Up Appearances this year.
And what a ride it's been, Sean.
It has.
If you don't mind me
what
saying.
What a ride it's
Anyone going to go Dortmund? I can't think of anyone for Dortmund.
Stephen Pienaar wasn't there long enough, was he?
Actually, no idea how long he was there. I guess not.
I might go for a self-sabotage one for the last game. And it's between Reece and Vicky boys. And Stephen Pienaar.
Is anyone going recent?
Anyone going?
Recent?
No.
Fairly recent.
I'm not even sure mine will have that accurate statistics for.
I am going current.
No surprise. I'm ready to go. Gone on forever, this.
I can go.
I don't think I'm going to get anyone else. Yeah.
Going to go first, Cal, so you can start checking.
Yeah, are we allowed to discuss or not? Did anyone else go current?
No, I'm not going current, no.
No.
Okay, I'll be honest, I couldn't really think of many past players. I went on the fact that probably maybe 4, 5-ish, 6 seasons for Real Madrid. Obviously play a lot of games in a season, don't they? At first I thought, I was trying to think when Courtois would have went. Obviously, keepers are always a good shout for big numbers to usually play most games. But
I reckon next season we need to put a limit on how many keepers you can guess throughout the season. What do you reckon about that, Sean?
Are you keeping
track of that, Tosh? Because I'm not.
Well, as long as I don't get cheated out.
Stick it in the slush puppy book.
I'll
go with someone we've actually just mentioned.
Is that cheating?
I don't think so. I'll go with someone who we have just mentioned, who I think has been there. I think he signed very young from Brazil, and I think he's pretty much like a bit of a star. I think he went straight in the team. I'll go with Rodrigo. I think he's probably made about 200. I don't know. They're probably playing about, 50 plus games a season.
Has he been there that long?
I think they signed him when he's like really, really young. I'm sure like 16, 17 when they signed him.
Yeah, so, no, I think you're right. That's just in my head. But I suppose you're probably right. I was thinking 3, 4 years, but I suppose if the numbers do add up, then yeah.
Yeah, I think about that. What we're saying. I think they got him when he's like 16, 17, like dead young. And yeah, that maybe being there 4 seasons or 50 games a season. Could be around that.
Wouldn't know. Seems like a reasonable shout. I'm going to jump in next.
Yeah, I don't mind if you want.
Go on then.
I really struggled here. So I've gone for someone that I think was probably there maybe around 5, 6 years. I have no idea. But probably played quite a lot of games each season. But I remember them leaving and I remember them where they went next. And I feel like that must have been, about 5, 6 years. So I'm going to go Luis Figo. The silence is deafening.
Yeah, I was trying to think. When did he go there? About 2000-ish, was it?
Yeah.
99, and then left probably about 2006-ish. Feels maybe on the too high side, but I could be completely wrong. Yeah, I don't know, but we don't know who he is, but I think it's a decent enough shout. It's not going to be miles out, I don't think, but I would put money on it, I guess, to either again. I wonder if he had injuries and stuff like that. Do you want me to go, Bob, or do you want to go?
I'm not fussed, you know.
I've tried to go a bit older, so I also tried to get a couple from that team. Me two other thoughts where I was trying to think of that team and people who didn't stay too long. And again, this one I had no idea, so I'm definitely not going to go. It was Morientes, but from my mind, he played when he won the European Cup in '97. He was still playing about 2001, 2002. I think he might have scored in one of them finals. So I think his numbers might not be too bad, but he also wasn't always first choice. The other one I had was just I read about him recently in a book about sort of new Maradonas, about Fernando Redondo, famous for scoring that, well, for making that goal for United with that flick on the byline. I'm actually going to go with, and this one, I've got no idea. As I mentioned, I'm not even sure the statistics will be accurate for him. So I'm going to give Callum a bit of a challenge because he was playing in the 50s and 60s of Ferenc Puskas. Because I think, yeah, I was reading the book about the stars, the European Cup. I think he's the only pair. I think there's only ever been three or four hat-tricks scored in Champions League European Cup finals. He scored two of them. One and lost. I think he only actually won the European Cup once or twice. So I thought he was, up until I read that book, I thought he was a part of all five, but he wasn't. And I think he joined Real reasonably late because of an issue in Hungary. So I think, I think he might have played 7-8 seasons, but back then he was probably playing 30 games a season with one of the best nicknames in football as well, the Galloping Major. So try and get that one for me, Callum, and if it's not right, I will be questioning.
How will you know if you can't get the stats?
I'll find some stats, Bob, don't you worry about that.
He actually made bang on 260.
I'm counting friendlies as well for them, because they were big back then, friendlies. Go on, Bob.
So I'm going for another Real Madrid icon, probably the first person that I think of really in a player that kind of made you fall in love with football. So I'm going for Santiago Muñoz.
Get in.
No, I'm not actually. So I've got quite a few names. When it was mentioned 5 or 6 seasons, this fella played a lot more. Well, was on the books for a lot longer. I thought Gareth Bale, because he had the loan spell at Tottenham and missed a lot of games through injury. But that could be way off. Other names I still haven't decided who I'm going for yet, so I'm just going to go. For Dortmund, they had that Subotic, centre-half, I can't remember his first name. I had İlkay Gundogan, or however you pronounce his name, and Rafael Guerrero, who's just signed, well, is now at Bayern Munich, I think. Other Real Madrid ones I had was Sami Khedira, Ozil, and Zinedine Kilban. Would his nickname be Kevin Zidane?
Yeah, probably would, actually, yeah.
Should I go for Kevin Zidane? No, I won't, actually. I'll go for R9.
I actually think, if I was guessing from all of it, I think Bale would have been your best shot. I think Bale might be a great shot. R9, would he? I don't know. How long was he? I feel like that's going to be less. But again, I don't know.
I've already won anyway, so I'll shot all right. I might as well have picked Santiago Muñoz.
I bet if someone's made some stats for Santiago Muñoz somewhere, I bet you can find them somewhere.
Yeah. Where are you getting on, Carl?
There's a lot of conflicting ones for obviously
Santiago Muñoz.
Puskas.
Well, just go whatever's closest to 260, Callum. I'm easy. If it's really tricky, I can go for one of the other ones, but I will be picking someone else from that team in the 50s. Di Stefano, please.
why don't you make an average of them all?
I actually want to go in a minute, so
I really need to go.
The Tarakan is saying it's 5-2-8.
No, it's not. There's no way he played 520 games for them. That's just can not I, true.
400 of them were friendly.
5-2-8 is an absolute farce.
Can I throw out what Wikipedia?
Absolute fool.
Have you been on Wikipedia, Cal?
Oh my, I didn't.
5-2-8.
Cal, have you been on Wikipedia?
I think that was on the thing, yeah. But it's dead low, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it not that?
Well, what's that one?
Do you actually want me to tell you?
No. Yeah, but remember Wikipedia, the one at the top doesn't include European Cup, does it?
No, I've gone down for it all.
Yeah, I've just looked as well.
Does it definitely have European Cup, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm happy to accept that one, whatever it is. Is it dead low?
Just take the number end with a 2.
Yeah. I reckon you go with that.
Okay, we'll go with that one.
If it's dead low, can we not just average out between the 560 and that one?
No, it's
do that. Yeah, do that then.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, average out with the 500 odd one.
It's all right. We'll just go with it. It's all right.
At the end of the day,
we don't want him to moan again, do we?
That's it.
Are you averaging out? No, not at
all. No, we'll just give you it. So,
Carl, in future, if it's anything like this, just lie, just to keep him happy.
Okay.
It's just easier.
I'm getting robbed again here. It's outrageous. Bob Champagne Ronaldo. Charlie Nicholas again.
Bob go Ronaldo. Yeah.
Ronaldo, yeah. The fat one, not Cristiano.
Oh, Sean, you'll have to stop by next season. You might have had, this is going to need 4 hour episode.
Absolutely fuming.
You had the week off last week, Sean.
That's true.
Don't start.
I was on holiday. I'm not getting the blame.
No, you're not getting the blame. Don't worry.
Get it.
I was on the Zoom.
Are you done, Cal?
Send them to Sasha.
Oh, sorry.
Callum is APFP.
Yeah, I went for his full name. Alfredo. Mm.
Yeah, I'll take that, actually.
I think I might just be completely wrong there, but whatever, you know who it is.
Right, then.
And
then.
You know, by the big smile on your face as well, like a Cheshire cat, mate.
What a win. Right, then. Should we get the results
ruined
then?
It now.
I didn't say who for. Right, this week then, so let's quickly wrap up the results. In fourth place, 83 out with 177, we have R9 Ronaldo.
Nice.
In third place, 217, so 43 out, was Rodrigo. Then top two were both within 15 of the total, which is pretty good effort. In second place with Figo, 245, so 15 out, Sean, really good effort. And Fedek Puskas, maybe disputably, as we've been able to verify this, only two out, it's about 262.
Or 300 if you look at the other sort.
There's no way he played 500 games for them. That's counting training, that. Honestly, I think he joined like 32. There's no way he played 500 games.
Played him until he's 39. I think he's the oldest ever player, I think.
Oldest ever player.
Perfect. Real Madrid, I think so.
Yeah, I know he played because he joined at the back end of the win. He played, I think he scored us with a fan in 66 when they got beat. I think he scored us with a hat trick. It's an unbelievable player. Right then, finishing.
2-3-4 according to Transfer Market.
Too late, Bob.
Whoa, did you not use Transfer Market, Cole?
Yeah, but that's not full. It wasn't. Definitely wasn't full there.
No.
No, actually.
I don't want
to. So he's like 30 out from the number you had, and that's not full.
Nah, I was thinking like it could be about 2-3-4, but when I was thinking it, and I thought, no, it's about 30 out there.
Pal, you've cocked that right up.
No, I did look at. I did look at transfer market. Then looked at the other one and said it was 500 odd, so I kind of went off transfer market.
Ah, oh, come then on!
You said it. To be fair,
this is a robbery, mate.
No, I think. I think.
He's just fucking you over here because you were taking the piss out of him before.
262. There was I found a Real Madrid site. It went on a Real Madrid site. And it said 262 on that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats here and it looks pretty accurate to me, the 262. It's got all the... It's in the league, the Copa del Generalissimo, as it might have been called at the time, and the European Cup. Yeah, I think that's... But that's about as accurate as we can get, I think. I'm happy to settle that.
Do you know what? You started the season with a win, ended it with a win, Tosh.
And that was triple points, that one.
Who's been all the guests this season?
Oh, bloody hell.
we can say thanks to them.
I've got to drive home and do about an hour's work here.
It's only about six of them.
It's the longest thing I've ever done this.
Six of them, isn't it?
No, because what happens if we miss someone off?
Yeah, I reckon swerving.
Okay.
Just say thank you to anyone that's been on.
Anyone who's been on or anyone's listening, whichever one's bigger.
So thank you very much for listening to this last episode of Keeping Up Appearances for the season, and thank you very much for your support all season as well and tuning in. It's very much appreciated. We also like to thank all the guests we have had over the year too. Being very grateful for them popping on and having them with us. So yeah, we look forward to hopefully inviting some back next season, hopefully having some new guests too. Please keep sharing and interacting with us on X, and we will have some episodes coming out over the summer for the Euros, which we are looking forward to. Hopefully you're looking forward to listening. So yeah, what a ride it's been. Been a good season. We've had good fun doing it. Some great highs, some lows, but hey, we got through it. I'm looking forward to the Euros and next season being bigger and better than ever. We have got the charity game to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. We're now in the influencer / podcast world. So we'll see how that goes. Make sure you look at our social media.
Not well.
To see us there. Hopefully some of us can improve on the last performances. If Bob's managed to get the splinters out of himself. But yeah.
Hopefully Sean can get boots to fit him as well.
That'll be a start. So yeah. Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. And we'll see you in the summer.
There you are, Cal. I got emotional then. You cheered that very well, Cal.
He did, Callum. I actually thought, listen to one, it was a couple of weeks ago, I actually thought Callum did a great job on Ashley.
All right, well, thanks, what did a good job?
We'll wait and see if that happens next season, won't we? Imagine we're in that charity. You wanted to do like a big presentation like Soccer Aid, Sean, like, at the end of.
Potentially, yeah. I hope it goes to Pens and you win it like Neil off the in-betweeners. Do you like that? Like Bellingham.
We belly out.